This is Columbus Perspective on Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Hi, this is Dave James. In the studio with me is Mr. Dwayne Casares. He's the CEO, Directions for Youth and Families. What are you smiling about? What's that?
I just don't get to see you as often anymore, Dave.
Well, you were late today.
Hey!
It's not like you seem like you're all grateful when you come in.
And I thought I was on time. I had to apologize to you. How many years have I known you? Eight? It's the first time I've had to.
I think it's first time in 8 years you've been late.
Yeah, and look how willing I was to apologize.
After you absolutely insisted that you weren't late, yeah.
Well, that's true. I did that, too.
So tell me what Directions for Youth and Families is.
We're an agency that's usually on time. We are a nonprofit social service agency that provides counseling, case management, after-school, and summer programming for kids in the Columbus area. We serve over 8,000 per year. We have psychological, psychiatric services as well, all kinds of stuff in our after-school. Our summer programming is going full swing right now. It's good times.
And, you know, we usually talk about something going on in the news, but you guys are kind of going on in the news right now. So I thought that we would spend some time talking about...
For a good reason, Dave.
That's right. For a good reason. You're in the news. You are a winner in a couple of areas, right?
Yeah, we are. And we're very honored. Yesterday, or this past week, it was announced at the Columbus Metropolitan Club United Way's Champion of Children that we will be the recipient, or are we going to be the recipients of the 2017 Champion of Children's Award for an agency. So we are, quite frankly, for me, it's a testament to the work that our frontline staff do. We have over 80 licensed clinicians who do outreach work. They're in the streets, in people's homes, in the schools. We have very little office space counseling. They go into all neighborhoods, and they do it with such care and professionalism and integrity and dedication. It really is an award for them.
You know, when you hold that State of the Child luncheon every year that I've been to several of them, you really do start to get a better feel for how important it is for these kids and from where they've come, the things that they've gone through and what they're tackling in their life.
Yeah, you know, it's actually on our website, www.dfyf.org. If you looked at the State of the Child and clicked on that, all the videos that we show, it's easier for us to record them. Many of the kids want to share their story so that other kids can get services as well, and a lot of them are very, very touching. It's the kids are great for wanting to do this to really support other kids who may need services.
And at the same token, then, as you mentioned, because your people go out into the field to meet these kids, that's something, too, that just adds to the level of commitment, and it's really the only way in a lot of times to catch these people.
Right? Yeah, you know, part of it, there's barriers to transportation, there's barriers to child care. We want to erase all of those barriers, and not to mention going into the home, you really get a more complete picture of what is going on. It's a it's non-threatening environment. Quite frankly, most of the kids that we serve, they're not going to go get, you know, mental health counseling once a week at some agency. That's just not going to happen. So, and it doesn't mean that they aren't in need. So we take all of our services to them. Fortunately, we have a great relationship with Dr. Good in Columbus City Schools, and so we're able to work with some of them in the school, and also Dr. Weiss out of Southwest City Schools, who are great partners. And we truly appreciate those things.
So when you have one of your workers, a counselor, or somebody who is new to your organization, goes out into the field, when you evaluate them after they've been there for so long or whatever, or you just talk to them and get feedback from them on what they think, what are some of the things that they tell you about how, you know, why – I just what an eye opener about what this is like.
Well, we're pretty open during our interview process to let people know just what this is going to be like, because it's not for everyone, you know. And you know, particularly if you may have been raised in a rural area and then gone to Ohio State and got a degree in social work and got licensed and then come to work for us. First off, being in a city and not knowing the city real well, typically students are stuck in the Ohio State area, and because we're outreach and because we serve the entire county. Just directions alone, it can be a bit of a challenge of where you're going. Phones help out today. But even on top of that, it's the familiarity with the population that we're dealing with. We have a whole, when they end up coming in through orientation, our orientation stretches like over 2 weeks. We have a big safety component, too. There's some basic things they need to understand because we're working out in the community, and in some areas that can be rather challenging. I always tell people, you know, just remember, as challenging as an area is, there are 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds that live there and call it home. So we have to balance all these things. We don't want to put ourselves at unnecessary risk. I tell them all the time, too, hey, you're going into an area and it just doesn't look safe at that moment. You can always come back and go with somebody else. So let's be smart about this. But we are committed to serving the people in any community, regardless of what they serve. Our whole process usually takes 3 to 4 months for them to finally get, you know, clicked into the job where they will feel comfortable. It's not for everyone. That is certainly true. And we totally respect that. If typically people will know, like within 2 or 3 weeks, like, wow, okay, this ain't me. So that's all right, too. It's you learn more about yourself at that point than you knew before. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, in our field, there's a broad range of different areas that you can work in.
Dwayne Casara, CEO, Directions for Youth and Families. You've been CEO, what, 4 or 5 years now or so?
Actually, like 6 or...
Is it really?
Yeah, I know. Time flies.
And before that, you were the clinical director for how many years?
17 years.
So in the 25 years or so almost that you've been there, what are the big changes that you've seen over that time?
It's some of the major issues. Drugs have certainly taken a change. I mean, even if you're just going to look at marijuana use, the potency of marijuana today is not what it was 25 years ago. That's certainly challenging. The increase in the number of people who are living below the poverty line or 200% below the poverty line has certainly really increased. There's that gap just seems to get wider and wider and wider. From 25 years ago, single parent households are truly the majority. They are. So the whole family dynamic, we have so many more grandparents raising their grandkids. You have to really think about, used to have this old term, the nuclear family. I haven't heard it in a very, very long time, and we shouldn't. Because there is no such thing anymore. So all of those present more challenges.
You know, that recession we went through back in 07 or so, there were so many people in there well into their 50s by then who just simply ended up retiring because they were unable to get back into the workforce and they lived off their 401k until they could draw Social Security or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's just a mammoth change in society when something like that happens.
Yeah, and it's all these little things that really just trickle down. And ultimately, if it puts stressor on the family, it's going to put stress on the kids. We're not at our best when we're stressed, and sometimes we lash out or worse with the children that we serve. Well, we can create situations that are going to leave long-standing, you know, scars and bruises, and these things have to be addressed. They're just not going to disappear and go away. Give it time, give it time. No, we have found that just giving it time isn't enough. You have to address some of these issues if you're really going to be committed to healthy growth and development.
President Trump, in the last few days, has talked about reinstating a ban on transgenders in the military. Now, the LGBTQ community is something that your agency also is spending more time with, right?
Yeah, you know, it's something we develop programs based upon need. So our general outreach program is really traditional mental health. But whenever we see an issue that seems to have spiked or there's a growing population in caseloads, and it looks like there needs to be some specific training for it. You know, a very clear example, you know, our Promises program serves survivors of sexual abuse. They're not going to go into traditional mental health. They need to go with a specialized service with those people who have been trained to deal with these issues. Our COMPS program, Children of Murdered Parents and Siblings, we developed that just because we are seeing an increase of kids who really needed a different type of service for their grieving process, and particularly the ages of them. The same thing happened with the whole LGBTQ population. More and more of them were having more problems. We also look at are there outliers for certain populations that aren't within the traditional realm. You know, LGBTQ teens and young kids, the suicide rate is 3 to 4 times higher than it is for normal teens. They make up something like 33% of the runaway population. You know, they have a higher increase of being trafficked. There's a higher increase of drug and alcohol abuse. There's a higher increase of domestic violence. So these are all outliers. So we developed our Pride program because of that. We have, you know, since then modified it, and this isn't a program that's old to include the TGNC population, which is the trans and gender nonconformists. Their issues are even a little bit more specific and a little bit different, even from the LGBTQ. So it's just choosing to be responsive. And Dave, really, it really starts with listening to the people we serve, and that's what ends up happening, and communicating that with each other, and then as professionals. Looking at this and deciding what's the best course of action for those we serve. And I purposely always say that it's those that we serve so that we keep in our mind that we are serving them. In a sense, we are their servants, because that I think that keeps the field of the helping profession. Too many times people think, well, we're supposed to be the people that tell you what to do with your life. I think that is bad. I don't have to live with your decisions. You have to live with them, and how dare I just lift up what I think is the right thing to do and throw it down on you and say, this is your path to whatever. I think we provide options, and we need to make sure that we provide healthy options, and then we allow people to make the choices that they want to choose. They screw up, Well, fine. Then we're there to pick them up, dust them off, reprocess it, and let them try again. The hardest lessons that people have learned in life hasn't been something that they were told. It really is sometime in their life where they have failed and they said, boy, I don't want to live through that again. That was too painful. And then they choose to do something about it. Well, we're there to assist in that learning process.
I remember talking with Stonewall Columbus a while back, and they were even saying that it's kind of a learning curve even within the LGBTQ community, because a lesbian or gay may not be able to identify with a transgender, and they're learning as well.
Right, they are. You know, and it's a great overriding point in all cases of diversity. There is so much variation within each diverse class that you can't just say, okay, I got it because I addressed that and go with certain parameters just because of what rises to the top. There truly are, even in the classes, you know, all Caucasians are not the same. All African Americans in this country are not the same. The Latino population is very, very broad. So you look at all the ethnic classifications just in Latinos and Hispanics. This covers a very broad range. So there's so much variation. There's even in ethnic classes they have different terms for light skin and dark skin. So we have to be very careful. I always think, let's just look at each other as individuals, as humans, because that's where you have to start. We're all products of our environment. So just because you may have some characteristics are the same, they may be very different. You know, the when you look at diversity, it is socioeconomic class, it is abilities, it is orientation, it's belief system. It's not just race and ethnicity and gender.
When you talked about the suicide rate, they are truly lost. I mean, they don't even know how to self-identify, let alone relate with the rest of the world.
And it's at great risk. You're left to, when we look at any type of helping process, one of the first things that we look from a therapeutic standpoint is, what is your support network? And is it a healthy one? And if you don't have one, we need to build one around you, because, you know, a therapist, counselors, caseworkers, they're not going to be there all the time. So those times that they're not, you're going to need to be able to have a healthy group of people around you, and the key word healthy, who can be supportive in those times. Well, if you belong to a fringe, if you will, classification that puts you at risk to the general population, how willing are you going to be able to do that? Now, let's throw in the fact that you're actually like an adolescent whose brain isn't even fully developed yet. So, you know, adult will say, why didn't they just do that? They don't think like that. You know, it's the same thing as you saying, why does a two-year-old lie? Okay, because they're not where you're at, okay? So because we have to recognize those things. We have to educate ourselves, and then we have to be sensitive to the populations who are going through this.
Is there still a lot of study and evaluation from a therapist's point of view on how to help people like that? Or,
you know, it's ongoing, because there's too many other issues that come into play. It's not just I actually still carry clients, well, not many, I don't have time for it, but it keeps me in practice. And actually, the three last individual people, I usually only see one person at a time. The three of the last people that I've seen have all been part of the gay community. So that's interesting in itself that has fallen out that way. But at the same time, they're so different because of all the other factors that come into play. It is no one has the same number of family members or the same number of support or the same spiritual religious belief system or the same class or the same neighborhood or so the same opportunities. All of these things are so different. So when we talk about developing individualized service plans, we do that. Some people are very, very okay with where they are from an orientation standpoint. Some people are still struggling with it. So you can't have the same treatment process for both. You need to have a basic understanding, though, of the challenges for each specific population.
The way politics is these days, red and blue seem to be getting more and more separated. Does
yes.
that play a factor into what you're doing at all? Does the political environment complicate matters?
I think on what level do you look at it? You know, on one level, you have to look at the fact that it's polarizing. So it can really create separation even in families. You know, the second thing is, you know, we work with many people in the community and including undocumented individuals. You know, I tell people all the time, we're not the INS. We have enough work to do with the people we work with. And so we don't need to take other people's jobs on. I'm sure there are many people out there and some of the listeners who would disagree with that. You know, well, if you're a nonprofit agency and you're getting federal funding, you should blah, 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 blah. You know, Willard, you guys just had an incident recently of somebody who has been a long time resident there and has a family. And we were talking about this and the father's been removed. He's had one traffic ticket. This is amazing to me. He's had four children born here. You know, the wife isn't. She's a citizen as well.
Right. Uh-huh.
But because he's undocumented, it's and didn't do anything wrong. And he's been deported. This is it's tearing apart families. I look back at things like this and I think, come on, what makes sense here? And aren't we creating greater problems here? And you know, a lot of our work has been around trauma and resiliency over the last 3 years. This is a pretty traumatic thing for a family you're putting them through. And we're doing that as a structure. That's not healthy to me. These are all new things that we normally did not have to deal with. So it is creating new challenges that we did not face 2 years ago.
Right. Again, Dwayne Cassara is joining us, CEO, Directions for Youth and Families. The United Way 2017 Champion of Children, also Business First recognized you, right?
Columbus Business First. There are diversity awards. We are one of the organizations that is going to be recognized for that as well, too. So, I need to give a shout out to Margaret in North Carolina. We actually have a listener who just listens religiously to us, and I just want to say thank you and hey.
Listens to us on the Fan's website.
Yes, she does. You can watch it on the Fan. You don't have to be in Columbus, Ohio to listen to us, and she takes advantage of that.
Outstanding. Again, Dwayne Cassara, CEO, Directions for Youth and Families. If folks want more info about your agency, Dwayne, what do they do?
They can check us out on the web, www.dfyf.org, or they can call our intake department, area code 614-294-2661.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Dave.